Welcome to The Truth Simply Put, the teaching broadcast vehicle of the Basilea Commission. On today's teaching by Alexander Victor, God's Word rightly divided in the light of Christ, who is the central theme of the entire scriptures, will come with simplicity, precision, clarity, and power to instruct, admonish, edify, and build you up into the full measure of the stature of Christ. Now, let's dive straight in.
Truth will be addressed in two ways. You will look for the truth to buy it and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. Scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy it. So truth is supposed to be gotten at a price. Or one day, truth will chase you. And it's better that you chased truth and laid hold of it than that a day comes where truth starts to chase you. The acquisition of truth, the growing of the believer in righteousness, is work. It's hard work. Do you understand what I'm saying? We might get there. I hope we get there before the Lord returns. I think we will. But the truth that you need to grow in righteousness is not necessarily in the church next door to where you live. We're not there yet. We will arrive at that unity of the faith someday, but we're not there yet. You will need to travel in pursuit of your clan. You will need to travel in pursuit of truth. You will need to stretch in pursuit of truth. I mean, if we who are teaching it are stretching, then you who is learning have to stretch even further. LJC, because you have to be desperate for truth. And it comes at a huge cost. It comes at a price. But then you know that the future will thank you for it. Yes, you know the future will thank you for it. And that's exactly what we're plumbing. Depths in the Word. So that you pay attention and receive it for where you are going. Yes, do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Sir.
You receive it for where you are going. Everything about your future will be determined by your depth and understanding in the Word. Everything. Everything. So I was thinking this morning, you know, we left off about Christ being the Logos of God. And I was thinking about it this morning, and I heard something along the lines of, if anyone tries to be logical in the absence of the Logos of God, what you end up with is intelligent madness. I heard it very clearly this morning. You know, if you don't spend time meditating, learn. Yeah. Learn. There's great power in meditation. Just sit down and let the thoughts of God's word wash over you. You will hear things clearly. You know, your walk with God is not, oh, my child. That's only in drama. Do you understand? It's only in drama. Sometimes God is not going to tell you, go, to lead you. Sometimes he will stand in your way and tell you, don't enter here, where are you going? Do you understand? You will receive direction from where God says you should not enter. And that's how you will know that this is where he wants you to enter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people say, oh, I was led. You don't know what it means yet to be led. Keep growing. Back and listen to discerning and obeying the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit. Because you not hear audible voice. Angela. He said we entered Mysia. The Spirit of God forbade us. We tried to go into Bithynia and he will not allow us. And then we heard them call us to come to Macedonia. Then we perceived that the Lord will have us go there. So we set sail for Troas. So it's from places that the Lord forbade them from entering that they knew where he would have them go. Now, between you and I, you'd have thought the Lord would just say to them, hey, do not go to Mysia.
Yeah.
Go thou not to Bithynia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I beseech thee that thou goest to Macedonia. And so sometimes you feel like you have not been led because you have not heard the Lord say clearly. So we try to then engage God intellectually. And any logic, anything you come up with that makes sense, apart from reference to the logos of God, is intelligent madness. I said that because I was going to say that the most disheartening and the most troubling form of foolishness and ignorance is that that comes from being informed about everything without it being from the standpoint of God's word. You've been informed about everything without your information being from the standpoint of God's word. That's the most disheartening form of ignorance and foolishness. The word of God is the final standard of authority for all things. Think of how much education Paul had before he came across light. And so and I've said this before in previous teaching recently, all the education that Paul had, the sum total of all the education Paul had equals to scales on his eyes. So when he met light on the way to Damascus, scripture says something like scales came off his eyes. So the blindness of Paul, Saul, his name was never changed. When he met the Lord, you know, his name was not changed from Saul to Paul. So just remove the S, replace it with a P. How is P more righteous? How? He said something like scales fell off his eyes. So what he encountered on the road to Damascus was light that suddenly caused what he knew to make sense. You know, I told you here before that the reason why Paul was sound that way as an authority in matters of grace is because he knew the law.
Yes,
with a veiled face.
Yes.
So before light, which is to say before the gospel of his grace, everything, and Paul knew stuff. He was a lawyer trained in the law. Okay, so he knew law. Yeah, he was a trained lawyer. He was called to the bar in the manner of speaking. And then he also happened to have studied the law of Moses. But the law of Moses that he studied is not what made him a lawyer. He is a lawyer. He understood secular law of his day.
Yes,
and then was schooled in the law of Moses.
Yes,
does that make sense?
Yes,
in the midst of all of that, he had time to study and have a career change and become a tent maker.
Yes, sir.
Because somehow he had figured that that's a business he could move around from place to place and practice. So he ported into tent making along with Priscilla and Aquila. That is definitely, by any standard, not a dull man. Yet, scales. So logic, apart from logos, equals madness. Intelligent man. Have you sat with somebody who is very sound intellectually and is making no sense?
Yes.
You know, the most dangerous mad people are wearing suit and tie. Wearing long dress and nicely made up. You know, most times you think that because they're not on the streets, everybody's head is correct. Even you here, if you're not proud, you'll admit that the correctness of your head is this word of God. Even with the word, just remain small. You are tethering on, bordering on insanity. That's why we are washing you every day.
Yes, sir.
If not for the word of God. Don't play with the word of God, though.
Yes, sir.
You know, sometimes the word is working so much, you don't even realize how much it's doing in you. Until you sit down, take a break. Learn to meditate, too. Sit down, just look at your 3 years ago self. You would actually feel sorry for the guy that dumped you and thank God that God delivered him from your previous version of you. Would anybody be honest enough to admit?
Yeah.
Yeah. You look at the you that somebody was trying to domesticate. You're like, hey, yeah, is this what you were dealing with? A lot of you will feel sorry for your parents if you just took a minute and just look at the you of 4 years ago, the you of 2 years ago, you just realize, oh God, people have grace to deal with me. So sometimes you need to take stock and realize how much the world is doing. And you know the funny thing? That is the major attack against the word of God taking root in your heart. Logic. The validity of what you feel. But that you feel something doesn't make it valid against God's word. Most times that's our problem, we feel it. And the word of God will now start struggling to cut through like meat that has not been cooked. You know how annoying that is? You take out meat from stew, nicely marinated. You know, the stew is coated on the beef. You know what I'm saying? How many of you have experienced that? It looks really nice. And then you are cutting, it's not responding. You know meat that makes knife dull. You know there's knife that makes meat soft. Then there's meat that makes knife dull. And he doesn't respond. Well, you can taste all the flavors of the beef. It's frustrating. Especially if you bought it with your money. And once your feelings are at play, that's how your heart becomes against the word of God. The word of God cuts asunder, cuts. Double-edged sword, cuts. The moment your feelings are at play, your heart becomes stake that the knife is struggling to cut. Now, ultimately, for those of you who are very stubborn, you know that last, you have eaten that meat. Last, you stop everything else you're doing. Your life ambition now becomes this meat and this bone. You are going down. Who are those people? Yeah, you know. You can postpone an appointment over this matter. Postpone an appointment. So eventually, you break down that beef. Which is the same thing the word of God eventually does, but at what cost? By the time the word has finally gotten through to you, what is the collateral damage? Both in you, as well as in people around you. So the strongest resistance to the word of God gaining entrance is when your emotions, your logic is at play. Because once my feelings are at play, it validates what I'm feeling. The word of God that is contrary to my feelings cannot gain entrance. Because for the word to gain entrance, it will have to shut down my feelings. Yes, sir. I know the word of God has a penchant, has a knack, has a tendency to come when your feeling is rawest. Yes, sir. Your feelings at its most raw state. That's when the word of God will come and slap you. Logic, apart from the logos, is intelligent madness. You're smart, which just makes sense, but it doesn't make faith. Your feelings make sense, but they don't make faith. They're not from a persuasion that only the word of God can generate. Most times we camp around that place of logic, camp around that place of no, but this is how this thing feels. This is how this thing is. The word of God can't penetrate. This is why a lot of us need to hear the same thing many times. Are you learning anything?
Yes,
this is why. Because it's not every time that you are sitting under the word that your heart is at play. So life and the enemy might not be able to stop you from coming around to gather as the church. But they have a way of playing with you when it's time to receive the word. You know, all it takes to lose a thought is to just quickly receive a notification on Instagram right now.
Yes.
Or WhatsApp. And in the moment it takes you to whip out your phone and see,
yes,
who was it that sent you a message, even if you didn't intend to reply,
yes,
in that instant,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In that,
yes,
instant you're distracted,
yes,
you miss a thought.
Yes, sir.
And so as you come back and line up, and you love God, you're truly here, but as you come back and line up, you're struggling, there's a disjointedness,
yes,
that has happened in your heart, and you're struggling to lay hold of where we were.
Yes, sir.
And that disjointedness continues in your head and it's like information that's scrambled. You know, like a hard drive that needs to be defragmented. You know, if you know anything about a fragmented hard drive, it's a hard drive, it's let's say 1 TB. And then there's only 200 megabytes of stuff on there, particularly on Windows computer hard drives. And there's that 200 megabytes of stuff has landed on different segments of the hard drive, such that the hard drive spindle has to go from this point to that point to connect information of this document to information on that document. It's just called a fragmented hard drive. Does that make sense? So when you defragment a hard drive on a Windows computer, particularly what it does is to force all the bits of an information across the memory of that device to come together such that it doesn't have to, the journey from here to here in the cache is at its shortest to interpret load information. Does that make sense? So you don't lose information on the fragmented hard drive, but the journey to go from place to place to put the bits together are longer. Tasks your RAM, task your processor, task everything about your computer. Ultimately, it causes that hard drive to start to fail because it's spinning at revolutions per minute that are not necessary to interpret the small information that is on the hard drive. Does that make sense? Hard drive is working frantically just because you opened one Windows document. But the little bits that form that document's footprint on the hard drive are scattered across the hard drive arbitrarily. Does that make sense? So now we have to pull and hard drives die. So when you defragment, you force all the information to come together and create a couple of partitions. A partition that has all your information and a partition that is free. So the hard drive knows in what space it is working to render and open information. That's exactly how the human brain is wired. There's information in your head. Sometimes you have read for an exam. And that's why it's very bad to cram. Because if you miss one thought, one word, one sentence. Now, you know it's more painful to fail an exam when you knew the exam. When you don't know it, you just prepare to fail. You understand? You just who knows what I'm talking about? You just know that this one, I am going to fail this. I don't know it. There's nothing the Holy Spirit can put me in remembrance of. I don't know it. But then there's exams that I know this, I read it. I saw it. I sat in front of the man's class. I put my hand up and answered like five different things the man asked. And then you get into class. And then everything is just like a maze. You can see the words, you just can't stitch them together. And then you have 90 minutes, 40 minutes are gone, 45 minutes, 50 minutes are gone. And it's just not coming together. You are in the class, you hear what he said about something else. But you are hearing that as the answer for something else. And you know that what you are hearing is something the man taught, but it's not what the man is asking now. And you come out frustrated. You failed because you knew. You feel because you knew and you just couldn't put it together.
Yes, sir.
It's frustrating.
Yes.
And a lot of us in the faith are like that. We're struggling through life on account of what you know. And they're calling people who don't know the scriptures. Your name is not listed. Even your neighbors and your friends know that there's a deposit of scriptures. There's a deposit of the word of his grace in your life. And even your friends and neighbors are surprised that they can't see the impact of the word they know you know. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
The word of God that they know you know. Your friends are worried on your behalf because they know that you know this thing. And they know that you don't intend to not act apart from what you know. So now they are wondering, why? Even me that I don't know. Who knows what I'm talking about? That's when we get caught up in logic, in sense, in trying to process information without recourse to logos. Jesus is the speakings of God. Remember that? I've said that to you before. Jesus is the speakings of God because scripture says, and this is beautiful, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, Jesus is the speakings of God because he's the thought of God. The third thing that will come to mind in addition to thought and knowledge when you think logos will be the word voice. Okay? Thought, knowledge, voice.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is the speakings of God because he is the thought of God. So to ignore the voice of God, to ignore the speakings of God, is to not know God. But in spite of how much information about God you have. Does that make sense? Yeah. You have information about God, but it doesn't translate to a working relationship or working knowledge with God in the absence of what Jesus says concerning him. So when we're teaching, it's not that for you to have a nice time and have what to quote. It's for you to hope and therefore position yourself that what is being taught can fall on the ground enough to yield fruit in your life. Because you don't believe the scriptures if when life comes to present you with an opportunity to practice, you fail. Does that make sense? The reason why you fail at the word is because what drives you primarily is not the word. Hey, listen to me now. If you failed at something, it means you succeeded at another thing. Failure is not in a vacuum. Failure is that a person has compartmentalized their abilities in a certain direction, and therefore there was nothing left for what the person failed at. If I'm terrible at something, it's because I'm terribly good at something else. So failure, I repeat, is not in a vacuum. If you are a terrible painter, it's because you are a terribly good dancer. So when it comes to painting, you don't do so well. Failure means that I have abilities. I channel them in a particular direction. And so when it has to do with those abilities, I'm not that good at multitasking. Because right now, all my energies, all my good vibes, all my positive vibes, all my intellect, all my abilities, all my skill set is channeled at something. The flip side or the fallout of which is that I will fail at something else. And so for the believer, and indeed for anybody in life, failure is a very, very important tool at educating you in what you are good at. Does that make sense? That you fail at something doesn't mean you're a failure. That you failed at something most likely indicates that you have no business there, because your forte is somewhere else. So you're not a failure because you failed. You should have received instruction from your failure and just recalibrate. Everybody is good at something. If you are a serial failure, you just haven't found what you're good at. The moment you, and this is for free, the moment you lay hold of what you are good at, you cannot fail at it even if you tried. It will just come to you effortlessly. The moment you lay hold of it. You went to school for 5 years. You didn't go to school to learn anything. Let me help you. You went to school to learn what you should not be doing. The ratio of people that studied what they want to do, what they are wired to do, is probably 1 to 10,000. People that identified it, stayed at, and like, this is what I want to be this. And then you actually chose a course of study and went through it, and you the fulfillment rate is so high for somebody who knows that they've gotten what they set out to get in school. For the rest of us, went to school to discover what you should not be doing. Does that make sense? There's some of us that just because of how we are wired mentally, me, Alexander Victor, if you call it pride, that's your business, beat yourself up. If you call it, there is no exam or test that I am billed or slated to write that I can fail at. It's just not possible.
Yes, sir.
If people are passing, they'll pass. In fact, where people are failing, like, will pass. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have sponge-like capacity for knowledge.
Yes.
If there's available information concerning a subject, I cannot fail at it.
Yes,
I cannot. If there are journals concerning it, if there's articles concerning it, if there's theses concerning it, I will find it and I will pass it. Doesn't mean I'm good at it. Which makes it kind of more difficult, if you're in my shoes, to know what you're good at. Oh, I know what I'm good at. I know all I'm good at. So when you're failing at something, it's letting you know that your attention and skill set is applied or deployed somewhere else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
What does that tell you if you're struggling to live by the word of God? At the exact instant that you are struggling to be subjected to the word, you are being terribly good at something else. For somebody, anger. Somebody, emotions. Somebody else, logic. Somebody else, theme. Netflix. Somebody else, food. Sex. Pursuing money. Relevance. For somebody else, knowledge. Gnosis. You like to know. Your life ambition is to rewrite the Bible. At the exact instant that you are failing at the word, you are winning at something else. So your failure is not that you are struggling with the word. Your failure is that that failure in the word has been perpetuated by what you are winning at. I will try and say it again in other words. The problem is not that you are failing at the word. I've told you that no failure is in a vacuum. So if you're failing at something, it means that your abilities are somewhere else. The problem is not that you're failing at the word. The problem is that you're winning somewhere else. And whatever else you're winning at is giving you a sense of validation and fulfillment that should only come from the word of God. Now that is your failure. Your failure is that something else is working for you where only the word should be working. That's your failure. So if I'm channeling my energy at something, it means that the other things are going to suffer because I don't have enough burners to attend to those things. Make sense? So failure highlights for me what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. Make sense? If I'm therefore failing at the word of God, it means that my energies and my capabilities are being occupied by something else. Do we understand that now? Then I went on to say, the problem with that is not that I'm failing at the word. It's that the things I am winning at is not the word. And there's nothing that validates a person like what he's winning at. Winning. Yeah? What you're triumphing at. So the issue now is not that you're failing in God's word. It's that you don't even realize you're failing because of what you're winning. Does that make sense? Because winning justifies the means. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't. But look at what it got me. It is working. The problem, therefore, is not that you are failing in God's word. It's that it is working. Because you see, if nothing else was working, then the word even stands a better chance. Because it's the word and other things that are not working. So somehow in your searching for what will work, you might come upon the word. And the word might work. But when the word is not working and other things are working, you're in trouble. Because now your failure is that you are succeeding in an area where you should be failing so that what you are failing at can succeed. Does that make sense now? Between word and life, you're going to have to choose to fail at life and excel in the word. Than excel at life at the expense of the word. So the problem is where life is going well and the word is suffering. But you see, we that are chasing shadows, we don't want to hear that. People who have acquired the substance of the shadow you are chasing are realizing that. Celebrities are turning to light, having acquired status, fame, money, women, accolades. They are looking for light because they realize that their success is failure.
Yes, sir.
You, it's because you don't have money that you think money is the answer.
Yes, sir.
But you have money. Because of some of you, it will take you to fall flat on your face, having acquired everything you are chasing, to realize that it was a dead end. Dead end. Oh, are you saying we should not live well? Which church did you hear that? Because this church is a live well church. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This church, it's a chop life gang. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, this church is not a suffer-head church at all. At all. So are you saying that we should not live well? I don't know what church you heard that from. Or what house fellowship. But so for some of you, honestly, the only way you will learn is to receive everything you are after. To realize that none of it is what you are after. May that not be your portion. The only way you will learn that that is not what satisfies is to have everything you think is what you need to be satisfied. Husband, wife, children, good home, visa, money, name, fame, cars, then what? When all your needs have been met, then what? So the reason why Christians sound this way is because you are chasing something you haven't tasted. So that's like I start praying for some of them Christians, some of you Christians. May you get what you're looking for. And for some of you, may you get it quickly enough to know that that's not what you need. You think Jesus was mad when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Think he didn't have sense. And all these things shall be added to you. He didn't know what he was saying. He was not going to be relevant for the 21st century. So you have a stubbornness of your pursuit, a stubbornness of your desire, a stubbornness of your ambitions, a stubbornness of your feelings, a stubbornness of your logic. If it's making sense, it's not making faith. We are called to make faith and not make sense. And that's where the struggle is when it comes to being known for conformity to the word. It's not because you can't do it. It's not because you're a failure. It's because success has been occupied by other avenues in your life. Does that make sense? The things that make for success have been occupied by other pursuits. So now what is left that you should succeed at, you're failing at. If you were a blanket failure, that's good. But see, you're not a blanket failure. You're only failing at the word. That's not good. You're acing it in school. You can't take time and read the word. That's not good. You're terribly good at your job. You can call things off the tip of your finger. You can't be subject to the leading of the Spirit of God as espoused in his word. That's not good. You know what the newscasters say. You can quote and you're up to speed with current affairs. You can't be bound by God's word. That's not good. When I follow current affairs, I follow them to line them up with scripture. Constantly. Well, how is this part of God's eternal prophetic agenda? There's an equilibrium that you arrive at once you can see life from the lens of the scriptures. Jesus is coming for his church just before she has reason to be afraid of world events. Does that make sense? Just before you have reason to be genuinely afraid of world events. When things start to go down, you won't be here. Does that make sense? Now, whether that statement of Jesus in Matthew 23 and 24 were referring to AD 70 or the day to come, he says that you will hear of rumors. You will hear. Is here, you will hear. Of wars and rumors of war. You will hear. Are you following me now? Israel is a valid part of God's agenda. I will teach this later. Israel, you are not Israel. It's important that I be telling you these things. It's important to. Just like how I reminded you that the heaven that Jesus ascended to is not in your heart. It's very important that you understand there are overlapping realities between Israel and the church, because Israel is a type of the church who sometimes is an anti-type of Israel. Does that make sense? Sometimes Israel, things happen with Israel that foreshadowed the church. Sometimes things are happening with the church by contrast to what happened with Israel. Because there's an advantage that the church has that Israel did not have. That Israel does not have. Therefore, the only advantage Israel has, and that not over us, is the advantage of covenant. The advantage Israel has, the nation of Israel today, is, and that advantage is not over us. In other words, Israel does not have an advantage over the church. But what Israel has going for her is the blessing of covenant. That God, who cannot break his word, has pledged to them. So all they are round about will bring them to line up with God's will. Romans starts to deal with that from 8, 9, 10, 11. Does that make sense? Israel has no advantage over the church. She just has a different timeline than the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God will divert his energies, if you like. God does not fail. Cannot fail. Does that make sense? So let's put it this way, in a manner of speaking. The church is blossoming and growing and enjoying grace because God has not turned his attention to Israel. So it will appear as though the Israel program is failing. It's not failing. God is not ready. He's attending to the church. So the church age, which will terminate at Jesus coming for us, will then reintroduce the Israel program. And God will see it through to his divine logical conclusion. Does that make sense? So if you like, this is quick, small eschatology tidbit. If you like, a way of putting it is to say that the Israel program was interrupted by the church age. Does that make sense? Because God had his thing with Israel. There was Israel before there was the church. It's not the cross that makes Israel God's people. It's covenant. Does that make sense? It's covenant. So God's jealousy with Israel is him and Israel. And then it's interrupted by the church age. Of course, it's a divine interruption. It's God's programming. And so as the church age wraps up, God's program with Israel continues. In the meantime, there will be a few interlapping activities that the New Testament is now loud on. Does that make sense? That's why I taught you, what purpose then does the law serve? So you can't just go everywhere, God, everything God promised Israel, and say, it's mine. I'm the Israel of the Lord. No, ma. So what is available in God's covenant to Israel can only be available to you today if it goes through the blood. If the cross ratifies it. Does that make sense? God's covenant with Israel will only be at play in your life if it's ratified by the cross. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Does that make sense? So if God says he will bless Israel, and you don't see, God will bless Israel, and then you now say he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, I can take that one and collect it in Christ. I will curse you if you do not do. That does not apply to me. Because for me, Christ became the curse. Christ did not become the curse for Israel. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh, right? Does all flesh have the Holy Spirit?
No.
So all flesh is contextual. Do you understand what I'm saying to you now? Say, woe to you. Not to me. And that's what we still don't understand in our right division of the word of truth. We still keep mixing things up between the new covenant and the old covenant. And God's covenant with Israel, which is neither old nor new. When God entered covenant with Israel, there was no law. There was no grace. So, it was God and his people. So great law has come and finished. God's covenant with Israel is still there. Grace will come and finish. The church age is the end of the era of grace. And God's program with Israel is still there. Be coming down. Do you understand now? Be coming down. So there's the old covenant, there's the new covenant, there's the Israel covenant. And so it will appear that the Israel thing is not working. Because the church thing is working. When the church thing finish working, the Israel thing will work. Oh, I'll teach you. We'll get there. Don't worry. Just enjoy the fact that you are saved.
Yes,
yeah? But then admit that there's plenty of things you don't know.
Yes.
Do you understand? That's a twofold approach to this. Enjoy the fact that whether you know, there's some things that whether you know or not, they will not take you by surprise.
Yes,
I'm telling you the truth. But it's required for your maturity in the earth that you may know. Just don't think that because you know grace and justified and righteousness, you know. Don't do that to yourself. So you are saved, no doubt. There's plenty you don't know, no doubt. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? When I hear you talking about the second coming of Jesus, second coming of Christ, second coming of Christ. Rapture is not the second coming of Christ. It's not. Finality, closure, and judgment. That's the final. That's the second coming of Christ. Yes. This is coming for, it's coming for you. Where do you read in your Bible that he will touch the earth when he comes for you? You shall be caught up to meet him. He's not coming to the earth. It's just the eternal signal that will sound and then whoop, you're gone. It's him. That's not come. It's not coming. Jesus has no right to return to this earth as, without me. Glorified. That's the second coming. That's the second coming. When Jesus comes, Jesus will come. You know what I mean by Jesus? Jesus, come. Jesus will come. Many sons in glory will come. He's not coming. He's just permitting the firmament and just taking his. Not coming. You see why I say you must have an addiction for the word of God. Rightly divided, not quoted, rightly divided. Second coming. And then we'll come. Us, him, mighty angels. Serious army. What Jesus needs to do, God, don't worry, we'll get there. People don't understand that what Jesus needs to do to wrap up the ages, he cannot do by himself. Christians don't understand that. He cannot. It's Jesus that has to do it.
Yes.
Because the glory of the Son is not shared by the angels. So in the heavenlies, only Jesus has his caliber of glory. Celestial bodies have their glory. Yeah, the glory of angels and the glory of morning stars. But the glory of the Son, to whom God has handed all things, is only with Jesus. And then with us. So when he returns, the army that he returns with includes us as him. Does that make sense? Because it's only with us as him that death is defeated. So when you say Jesus defeated death, yeah, he defeated death in that death could not hold him. Yeah. And because we can see that, because death did not hold him, therefore death will not hold us. Does that make sense? But that scripture will not be fulfilled until we have defeated death. Then will be fulfilled the scripture that was written, death. And death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15 is there. It is my resurrection that will fulfill that scripture, not the resurrection of Jesus. That's why Jesus is what? Jesus is what? Jesus is what? First fruit. Is Jesus the harvest? Who is the harvest? What's Jesus? First fruit. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. When it dies, it brings forth fruit. Fruit. Jesus is not God's harvest. That would make God a very bad businessman. Do you understand? So one of the most liberating shockers in the gospel is to realize that the gospel of Jesus is not about Jesus. Do you hear what I said? The gospel of Jesus actually. It's not about Jesus. It's never been about Jesus. For God so loved the who? It was fitting for him in bringing many sons too. Yeah. The gospel of Jesus actually. It's about me. With you. Us. As him. When you know this, you start to pay attention. That's why he asks you, you are fighting each other. You will judge angels. So you see, Paul starts to play their coming reality in their face to let them know that what they are dealing with now is mundane. He tells the Corinthians, do you not know that we shall judge angels? I think it's 1 Corinthians 6, yes. Because it has to deal with the whole taking one another to court and all that stuff, all in that chapter. So Paul is aware and he tries to get the church aware of where we're going. Do you understand? We, us, is big deal, guy. Believers. My God, that's the most important title in the world. Because believer means son of God. The same thing. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become sons, even as many as believe. Same difference. You are a believer, you are a son. You are a son, you are a believer. Does that make sense? Because you are sons. Galatians 4:6. He sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. A believer is a son. A son is a believer. That's the most important title you can carry. That's all the letters you need. After your name. Believer. Son. That's God's complete eternal agenda. Believers. Don't you just love the word of God? Yeah. So may the word of God gain entrance in your heart. There's every, apart from the word of his grace, every negotiation with a believer will fail. Every negotiation with a believer will fail. Outside and apart from the word of his grace. You will just not behave well. You don't have what it takes to behave well. Outside the governance of God's word. So when I hear things, I just right now, I'm exhausted. And I hear certain things. I'm like, believers, just leave them. I commend you to God. Word of his grace. Certain attitudes that are in existence is because you have not come under the influence of the word. You haven't come under the influence. You can be talking to someone and hang up the phone and be angry in church. The word has not arrested you. You can do transactions and not live up to your end of the bargain. The word hasn't arrested you. You're wondering why we're in church. The word has not arrested you. Because you just little have told you now in 30 minutes. You now realize that you need to be in church all day, every day.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand? All day, every day. It's in God's mercies that he allows you to go and sleep in the night. You should be up studying the scriptures, sir. Thou shalt meditate on it when they are.
Nice.
So you see that it's out of God's love that he allows you to sleep in the night. It's not your rights. Do you understand what I'm saying now? He giveth his beloved sleep because he's merciful. Not because you worked hard. What work have you worked when you didn't work dividing the word of truth? What work did he work? Because this is the labor. Aragon, this is the hard work. So I don't care if you're a laborer. Say, do you have any blocks I carry today? You didn't carry any block of the word of His grace. You were lazy all day. Lazy all day. You didn't live a life governed by His word. That when you lie down to sleep, you should know that your spirit walked today. Do you understand what I'm saying? You should. You know, God, my spirit has labored today. Meditating, eating, listening to, studying, receiving instruction in the word of His grace. That's what causes you to not be ashamed and be approved unto God. Problem is, you are confusing that with your salvation. Not everybody saved is approved. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's the reward system of God that will show God's approval. Not every son of God is well behaved, just like not every son of your father is well behaved.
Yes, sir.
But they're your father's son.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me now.
Yes, sir.
They're your father's daughter. Bear your father's name. Your father pays the school fees of the black sheep of the family. So if you're failing at that, it's because you're succeeding at something else. What are you succeeding at? Malice. What are you succeeding at? Grief. Mourning. You are so broken for the loss of your dad. You are so broken by the loss of your mother. You are succeeding at that. You are failing at the word. Because you will not be that smashed if you are mourning in hope. Which is what the book of our people teaches. So if you are succeeding in being so messed up in your mind because of a loss, you are succeeding in grief and failing at the word. You must be heard to be validated regardless of what the word says. You are succeeding in self-actualization and failing at the word. Therefore, all your success is failure. You're hoarding when you should give. You are making money and failing at the word. Makes you very poor. Are you learning anything? It's crucial. A believer is known by his addiction, ferocious commitment to the word of his grace, rightly divided in the light of Christ, who now we know is the Logos, the thought, the knowledge, and the voice of God. Matthew 11:27. Are you learning anything today?
Yes, sir.
Matthew 11:27. Jesus speaking says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father." Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal the Father to. So when that 32 and a half ish year old boy says, "No one comes to the Father except by me," you better be instructed.
Yes. Yes, sir.
No one knows the Father except the Son and whoever the Son chooses to reveal him to. So you see why I say believer is a big deal? Because you are now what? Chosen generation. That means unto us has it been granted to know the Father. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be according to the glory of his grace. Hey God. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Except the Son.
Yes.
And the one to whom the Son,
Yes.
The Son, not the Father, the Son.
Yes.
Don't play with Jesus.
Yes.
The one the Son wills,
yes, sir,
to reveal him.
Yes,
and so he chose us in him. That's, you know, that's actually where the spillover of the blessing in Ephesians 1 3. Now thanks be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed the very heavenly spiritual blessing, heaven places in the Christ Jesus. Verse 4, I think, even as he chose us in him, that we should be blameless and walk in him blameless in love. Yeah, that's it. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in him in love. So now that we are the chosen, what have we received? The blessing of the revelation of God the Father. Through the Logos, the Son, the Word. Make sense? What a blessing. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2. Let's look at this blessing a little bit more. Let me try and pull it up in another translation. I'm not sure. I saw it recently. I think it was in the TPT of the message. But let's start from verse 6. I've dealt with this before. But since we're in this place of talking about who the Father, who the Son chooses to reveal it to, I'll say it again. Yeah? So, New King James. And then we'll look for it in either the message or TPT. Or NLT, but I saw it in one of them translations. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, follow this carefully, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. Yeah, this hidden wisdom. For if they had known, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. So they knew Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph and Mary, not the Logos. Had they known he was the Logos, they would not have crucified him. Which is a problem for God's plan. So that's why if you follow scriptures, you will now say, and therefore, seeing, they did not see. Hearing, they did not hear. It was God's plan. But let's keep reading. They will not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written now here carefully, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now you quote this all the time. Pray that God, what eye has not seen. See the next verse. See verse 10. First sentence. Okay. What is them? God has. Hath revealed them. Apocalypto. Yes, sir. Unveiled them. Yes, sir. To us through his spirit. And this is how you thank God for systematic Bible study. And the Lord. So today's believer has no business praying. I has not seen. It has not heard. Neither has it entered the mind of man. Not to enter your mind, sir. The believer is at a point where things should be coming out of your mind, not entering your mind. But God has. I'm going somewhere. That's why I said I saw it in one of them translations. Yeah. Oh, God. But God has revealed them to us, verse 10. Through his spirit. For the spirit searches all things. Yea. The deep things of God. 11. Follow this now. Follow the thought. Oh. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yes. Only water that can know what water is thinking. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received
but the Spirit who is from God, that we might the things.
Verse 9. Let's find that translation. If I can find it. If not, verse 9. Verse 10. Let's see TPT first. This is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard before. Look, go down to where are we now? We're in verse 12. Go down to New King James to verse 16. Now, this verse 16 quotes Isaiah 40, I think. Yeah, somewhere in my Bible earmarked. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now, Isaiah 40, let me look for it. When scriptures are referenced in the Old Testament, let's look for them. Yeah, that's how we are here. I have it highlighted in Isaiah 40, because Isaiah 40 is a very, very reverence-inducing chapter. Yeah. Okay, 13. Isaiah 40, 13. Yeah. 13, 14. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor, who has taught him? 14. With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and who showed him the way of understanding? Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10 says, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Then Paul then comes and quotes Isaiah 40, 13 and 14 in 1 Corinthians 2, 16. And it says, for, open quote, quoting that reference. Yeah. Stay there. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But you have the mind of Christ. Now, of course, we will not instruct him. Because we are his wife. Not his husband. He's the head. But you guess what? We know what he knows. Do you understand that? Now, TPT. Verse 16. For who has ever intimately known the mind of Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Quoting Isaiah 40, 13. So do you know what studying the word of God by the Spirit of God does? It brings you into the God class.
Yes, sir.
It means that you can sit down. Hear me carefully. Hear me carefully. It will sound like blasphemy, but hear me carefully. According to the scriptures I can submit to you, that you can sit in the earth and come into the full knowledge of all God knows. That is not possible. It's not God's fault. It's you that has refused to engage. Now you see, that is maturity in the earth. That is what Paul refers to, or the writer of Hebrews, as perfection. Let us now move on to perfection. Because what contains what God knows? Let me rephrase. What is it, or who is it, that contains what God knows? The Spirit of God. No one knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God. When you receive the Spirit of God, what have you received? The entirety, the mind of God. So if you don't know, it's your fault. Why could people not instruct God? Trick question, but he has an answer. Why could people not instruct God? What then will it take to qualify to instruct God? Do you have it? Such that God's desire for you is not, hear me carefully, your father's desire for you is not for him to know more than you. His desire for you is to know as he knows and respect the placements. Respect the positioning. Respect that you are son. I am father. It's in the same vein that Jesus said, I and my father are one. Our God is the only progenitor of a religion that does not mind his followers knowing everything he knows. does not have security issues. He does not have insecurity issues. Zero insecurity issues. He's happy to be with you. And everything he knows, you know. Otherwise, he will not have dared to give you the logos. Because the logos is everything. Do you understand that? Then? The logos is not one extract, one tract out of the entire textbook. The logos is the embodiment, the encapsulation of everything God is and knows. If he didn't want you to know, he would have kept the logos away from you. So men are chasing portals and realms when he has given you the very thing that makes him God. The very thing that makes him God. And he gave it to you freely, without measure. Who knows? Have you seen the journey? John 1:18, Matthew 11:27. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and who the Son has chosen to reveal him to. Now he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We are the chosen generation. So now we know all God knows. How? By his Spirit. No one knows the mind of a man except the Spirit of that man. We have received the Spirit. The problem with us, we have not even gotten to the point yet where you even walk in the full knowledge of all God knows. For me to even ask the question, can you handle being a son? Can you handle being the bride? And not now want to be the husband. Because as far as instruction goes, if you sit and eat the logos, you and God can talk. Because you are engaging with God based on what God knows that you now know. And God is duty bound to listen to you. Because what you're engaging with is of the same substance as what he has. Yes. So he will talk to Moses as a man talks to a friend. Yes. There have been pictures in scripture where God respects people that entered him. He didn't shut them down. He didn't shut them off. He didn't hide from them. There are pictures in scripture. Enoch walked with God and was not. There are pictures in scripture. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? But everything God knows is ours for the knowing. And it's God that made it so. Do you realize that? It's not a portion of his knowledge that he gave to you. Logos. Logos. So it's you that is failing because of where you're succeeding at. Which now you know is failure. Against what you should be succeeding at. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
This is one of the teachers when I said that, the one I talked about left behind. I said, one shall be taken and one shall be left behind. So if the believers are being taken, what are we talking about? I was talking about judgment. That was judgment, not translation to glory.
Yes,
yeah? You know what I said about coming back to the earth?
Yes.
And there will be a time in the earth where both translated believers and regular human being unbelievers will be together in the earth. Oh, yes. Does that make sense? And personally, because of how cheeky I am, I'm looking forward to that season. You know, coexisting as a superhero with normal human beings. I'm looking forward to it. You know, you and your neighbor are going somewhere. Like, you take the bus, you know, don't want to meet you. You meet me there. I'm very sorry you can't come with me. I'm very sorry. You didn't believe. You didn't believe. Can you see your life? It's in that era that unbelievers will give God glory for you. Because all of us will date together until judgment time. When judgment time starts, they are washed away. They're taken away as in the flood. We are left. Does that make sense? There will be no judgment until we are gone. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Until we are gone. We can't be here trying to judge the earth now. We'll die like them. Does that make sense? We have no immunity right now. We are human beings. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, don't touch me. I'll probably be in the ark of Christ. Fire will burn you. That's why we have to be removed, translated, and return for business. Does that make sense? And then the judgment plan starts to play out. That's you that will judge angels. Are you following me now? Uh-huh. It's going to be a long time between the translation of the saints and then the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth. Yeah, it's going to be a long time. So there's a whole new age that starts when we are translated. Does that make sense? That age is at least 1,007 years old. That age. That age of time. Not eternity. That age of time. Do you understand? That age of time. It's at least 1,007 years old before time will then wrap up and eternity takes its course. By the time time wraps up and eternity takes its course, there's no sea, there's no hell, there's no death, there's no lake of fire, there's no earth. All of that wraps up with time. And then by Revelation 21, a new heaven, a new earth, the tabernacle of God is among men. Then eternity begins with absolute perfection. Does that make sense? Yeah. So fun times. Do you get it? So Jesus is God spoken to us. He's the thoughts of God poured out to us. He's the knowledge of God made available to us in absolute measure. Such that if you're not like God, it's your fault. God made man in his own image after his own likeness. If he didn't intend for you to become like him, he would not have made you in his image after his likeness. Him we teach, him we preach. Paul says in Colossians, I will present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect. Going into what? Perfection. So perfection is a question of how much distance you're willing to travel in the labor of word and doctrine. It's not behavior. Perfection has never been tied to behavior. Just it is tied to the distance you're willing to travel in the labor of word and doctrine. That's perfection. Completion, if you like. The same word, pleru, pleromai. Fulfillment, the absolute feeling of all things. That distance is traveled in labor in word and doctrine. So when life is happening, the way it happens to them is different from the way it happens to us. And so your neighbor start feeling sorry for you. Say, are you the thing for church? They now start believing God for things to happen for you that they're not even believing God for themselves. Yes. Because they know that they nothing's going for them. You now, Richie, you that you are in church all the time, you are there long teaching. There has to be profit showing in your life of pursuit to the word and doctrine. Are you following? Are you learning anything? So our commitment to the word of God has to be unwavering. It has to be unwavering. There's so much to know because of so much we know that we don't know. Do you understand? There's so much to know. There's so much that we know that we don't know. Because it's humbling and challenging to know that God has never hidden anything from us. That's really challenging. It just tells you that your name, sir, your name, ma, is Brother Machuku. That's what it has to mean. That's what it has to mean, that that's your name. God has never hidden anything from you. God is happy for you to know all that he knows to the point of instructing him, if not for status and position. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you know everything your professor knows, you can argue to your professor. Yeah. Duly respect with that, sir. You're the professor, sir. And that professor would be happy, should be happy, to engage with you at the level of logos. That's how your father is. You know, there's the similarities between Jesus and you. Then there will be the difference between Jesus and you. In this gospel, vital similarities, positional differences between you and Jesus. Do you understand? Jesus will always, you and him will be the same, will be, you will be the same. Jesus will always be the firstborn. He will always be the one God gave everything to. Who then gave you? So vital similarities, positional differences. There's so much to learn. But in the rankings, in the substance, you and Jesus will be the same. In the rankings, Jesus will always be your senior brother. Always. Always. For all eternity, you are depending on Jesus for God. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we're all reigning, you know? Because you will not see anywhere that God gave the kingdoms to the, all the sons that were saved. Kingdoms are given to one. How we reign is that we are now kings in the kingdom. He's now king of kings. We are kings. He is king of kings. We are lords. He is Lord. Receive sense, oh. Even in eternity, your glorified body will need this sense. I'm telling you, that's what we're teaching you. That's perfection. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your glorified body will not wipe sense. These logos, you will need it in eternity to behave well. I'm telling you. That's why I'm teaching it to you now. Because this is where the class is. That one is practical. Listen, as you are translating, what will happen? Exactly what happened to Jesus. Your logos now takes on an immortal body. That's the redemption of your body. Do you understand? The logos and takes on an immortal body. It's the same you with a body that can now handle you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you, there's nothing that you don't know now that you will know when you're translated. Nothing. Nothing. Because some people think that when you are translated, you just suddenly... No problem. No problem. If it was not the case, there would be no need for reward based on what you want. I mean, what's the difference? Why reward? Why is there a reward system? What are you grading against what? What are you grading against what? We're all translated. Boom! Perfect. No, ma. Who told you that you have ask God questions? Because once you are, but these are things that scriptures do not teach. Yeah. It's all fairy tales. Yeah. We'll reach heaven, we'll reach the foot of Jesus, we'll ask him questions. Yeah. You see light that there's no sun. The Lord himself, the scripture says, is the light of the city. How are you saved? By light. You are saved by light. In him was light. And that light was the life of man. The light shines in darkness. The whole world got saved just because Jesus was put on the cross. Just the light of Jesus on earth saved the world. Imagine the light of Father God. You have a question to ask? No, because by the time, listen to me, when you are translated, you are perpetuated. That's the whole idea of, you know what it means to perpetuate? You enter a format that cannot change. You are changed into a format that cannot be changed, cannot decay, cannot be corrupted. Otherwise, there will be no people who are, what's the word now, that phrase, had I known. Yeah, because you have an awareness about yourself that I no try you. No, you have an awareness, I no try you. See why Paul makes very clear. He says that everyone shall give account for things done in the body. In the body. In the body. Things done in the body. In the body. That's perfection. That's the rankings. The labor in word and doctrine. That's the rankings. The labor in word and doctrine. That's the rankings. The labor in word and doctrine. Again, vital similarities, positional differences. Are you following me now?
Yes, sir.
But the word is available to you. Open up your heart, humble yourself, and learn. God has no qualms with you being as Him. What a blessing! God has no problem with you being as Him, knowing all He knows. Now. So when we teach, everything stands still. Everything should stand still. Social media, text, pain, heartache, needs, desires, ambitions, prayer points, feelings, sensualities, earthly knowledge, academic pursuits. When we teach, sit under the word of His grace, everything stands still. That's the way of our people. There is nothing else you, as a believer, there's nothing else you can do to be like God than to learn His word. Did you hear that? There's nothing else you can do as a believer to be like God and to learn His word. Everything stands still. That's the way of our people. We are in a God pursuit that He has made possible. Do you understand that? We are in a God pursuit that He has made possible. That's our journey every day. I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may what? No. That's the journey. That's the journey. A God pursuit that He has made possible. A God pursuit that He has facilitated. So for everything that you know, if you do not know God enough to make what you know something you don't know, then you don't know God. For everything that you know, if you don't know so much about God to make what you know insignificant, you don't know God. For everything that you pride yourself in knowing, it should pale when eclipsed by the knowledge of God in Christ. Does that make sense? So I'm not saying don't know. No. My brother, you will know. Yeah. Hairdresser, you will know. Yeah, you will know. You should know. Fashion designer, doctor, you should know. But when you know, and it's so much, when measured against the weight of your knowledge of God in Christ. This so much you know should not even tip the scale. That's when you know that your God pursuit is reading, yielding your results. Does that make sense? You pursue, you will know all there is to know in your field of endeavor. But when you weigh it against what you know of God in Christ, the scale overwhelmingly goes down in favor of your knowledge of God in Christ. Such that it's your knowledge of God in Christ that is even sustaining what you know. Are you following me now? You know, if you have a scale, you know that a scale. If you put 2 kg of beef on the scale, it will tip in its direction. Does that make sense? If you put 10 ounces on this side, the scale will just move around a little bit, but it won't tilt. Right? If you put a 1-ton metal on this side, chances are the scale will break in the direction of the weight. But 2 kg beef is good for life and godliness. 2 kg of beef. But when weighed against this, it pales in comparison. That's how your pursuit of life and word should be. So you know stuff, you have acquired stuff good for you. But when weighed against your pursuit of God should eclipse it totally to make what you know seem like foolishness. That's when you're growing in the word of His grace. The moment you're at that point, you can't write a foolish poem. You can't write a foolish song. You can't have a foolish conversation. You can't wear a foolish dress. You can't go to a foolish place. You can't do foolish things. You can't think a certain way. Then the way of our people has truly caught up with you. You can't transact a certain way. You must leave a certain impression. Because on an overwhelming level, you are being weighed by the word of His grace. Your equilibrium, your bias is towards the word of His grace. Not towards what you know. For some of you, a lot of you have a lot of philosophy that's based on quotes. You have all those memes saved on your phone of things that everybody else says apart from the word. A failing. Your WhatsApp status, your WhatsApp stories contains everything from anybody that says anything that is deep and profound. Anything that sounds like anything decent finds you as a ready advocate. You share it. You have acquired all this generic knowledge that in the absence of logos is intellectual foolishness. So when life hits you, and I'm ending where I started, when life hits you, what happens? Your hard disk starts running around, looking, trying to bring all that information together and make sense of it. And there's all kinds, and in the time it takes you to try and deforment your hard drive, you have failed at that thing. Because your knowledge is a combination of what you watched in a movie, what you read in a book, what you saw on a WhatsApp group, what you heard on a Facebook forum, what you heard in a Telegram channel, what you followed in your old school associations, WhatsApp group, everything that they said on your street, what they said on TV, that person you are following on Instagram, what they posted, your head is a mixture of nonsense. And you can't process it to bring light. Because God is not in human philosophy. So we realize, alas, I know so much, but it amounts to nothing. The people that made those quotes are looking for what you have. Looking for light. In fact, most of those quotes are born out of a desire to acquire or lay hold of something that they don't even know. And you think they're deep. They're looking at you and wishing that they had the deliberateness that you have. The inner peace that you have. But you're caught up in chasing all of that and looking deep and sounding deep because you're quoting everybody who seems to be trending. And yet, the logos is not trending in your life. So it means every trend, everything that goes viral in your life is a failure. Every view that somebody gave a video of yours is a failure. Every like that somebody attached to your post is a failure. Because it's not being spurred, it's not being supplied from the place of the Logos. The word of God in Christ, rightly divided. And that is the way of our people. I'll take a few moments and just meditate. A few moments. Some of you might write in this period. Some of you might just receive impressions. Just take a few moments.
Well, that's it for today's teaching. We trust it has been worth your time. For more of these messages from our stables, kindly subscribe to our teaching podcast at www.thebasileacommission.podbean.com or via the Podbean app on your mobile device. For inquiries and further information, kindly send us an email to info@thebasileacommission.org or find us on social media with the handles at The Truth Simply Put or at WAR The Church. You can also send us an SMS, call us, or connect with us via WhatsApp on +234 70 881 8864. Finally, if you would like to give to support the work that we do, kindly follow the Patreon link in our podcast or contact our office for details. Thank you.